Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The MVP of the league, at least based on looks, Jaylen Brown. Wrong guy. He still got it played like it last night. Did I miss something?
That'll be part of my rant of the day.
Why? They lost by a billion? I'd be mad, too, if I were you. What was the final score? How you lost by a billion? Well, okay. What's the difference between one and a billion? Not much. All right. So. All right. Let's get to it here. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Okay, so let's get to the important stuff of the day, then we'll get to your nonsense.
Yes, there are some things that have come down on the Penn State side, so yeah, let's do that first.
I talked for a little bit with Pat Kraft last night about some of this stuff. So let's start with this. The full board is going to look at this. What happened today was the committee advanced them so the full board can vote on it. And the let's start with this. Greenberg Indoor Sports Complex Training Table and Wellness Center. It's a $31.9 million project. Penn State football does not have a training table area. The players still have to go over to Pollock. In fact, my next-door neighbor who's out mowing his lawn right now, Jim Hopi, is the one that ran it forever until he finally decided to retire. And let's start with this. They are taking an existing building, Greenberg, and they'll change over part of it to put this training table in there. And it'll include food service, athletic training table, a wellness center, athletic training center for student athletes, and it's going to be used for all 31 athletic teams. The space is going to be adjacent to the Morgan Academic Center. So it puts this training table and wellness center in the same complex with Morgan. So this will be a hub, and again, they'll be using an existing part of the building to do this, and the project is $31.9 million. The Wellness and Athletic Training Center will provide medical, rehabilitation, nutritional services to all Penn State student-athletes. The nutrition area gives student-athletes an opportunity to have access to items to refuel following workouts and practices. It should be pointed out that there are also, there's some sports that don't have that, and they'll have it now. Jeffrey Field, $21.25 million project includes new soccer operations facility, stadium renovation, parking, and an entry plaza. The stadium operations will house spaces for the men's and women's coaching staffs, locker rooms for both programs, as well as meeting spaces. Soccer stadium renovations will include the creation of indoor bathrooms, concession stands, entry plazas, standing room only areas to improve fan experience and allow the ability to host events. Currently, both programs are in Rec Hall. They have to go by bus to Jeffrey Field on game day. I will give you an example. When we had Jeff Cook on the show from the field at Top Trees, we always have the, whether it's James or, now in this case, Mike Rose, they're always on in the second half of the show. We have a coach from another program in the opening half of the show. Well, when Jeff Cook was on the show, he told me, he says, I had to really run over here. I had to change, out of some of my practice gear, and I changed in my car. Well, you don't want somebody going from practice and changing in their car. You should be able to walk back quickly into the locker room, change up, and then come over. I mean, that's something as simple as that. And the Jeffrey Field Soccer Complex needs that. And for all of you out there that have gone there, no more porta-johns when this project is done. Legit concession stands when this is all done. The indoor practice bubble, $9.8 million. Indoor air-supported practice facility. 10 programs from January to March use Haluba Hall. And they need to take the stress off Haluba Hall. This indoor practice bubble will do that. The cost, $9.8 million. Especially for the winter and spring months, this is critical to have. Next, East Area Locker Room. $5.2 million project to renovate the first floor of East Area Locker. Look, just the roofing they have to work on, because there are parts of that building that leak. I've been in there. They're going to put in there a sports performance area, fueling station, satellite athletic training area, office suites, and an IT suite. $5.2 million. Lash building renovation. This has gone through now for a couple of years on this, but it's going to officially go through. It's a $22 million project. It's for the second floor of Lash building. This is to accommodate the current staff size as well as the meeting space for the staff needs. Includes the expansion and enclosure of the building's patio to allow an event space to accommodate large number of guests regardless of weather conditions, and plus additional space because, I mean, staffs are bigger now. And the board committee did advance the initial expenditure for Beaver Stadium. The Committee on Finance, Business, and Capital Planning advanced the expenditure of $70 million to complete the first stage of the Beaver Stadium renovation. And the full board will vote on it tomorrow. This includes the priority maintenance projects, winterizing, and architectural and design development. The architectural and design development, you got to have that so you know exactly what you're going to be getting out of it. Total project to be completed will take 4 years. That matches because Pat was talking last night about 2027. The total cost is going to be about $700 million. It'll be financed and paid for entirely by Penn State and Collegiate Athletics. No tuition dollars or educational budget funds will be used toward the renovations. And so that is what they're going to do. The first stage of the renovation, expected to be completed over the next 12 months, includes architect and engineer procurement, design and necessary structural maintenance. Okay? Initial construction will focus on improving priority safety and security, including crowd traffic control, addressing field lighting performance. All right? Now, one of the items that, you know, that they're going to do is they're going to eventually, when this whole thing is done, widen the concourses. That is going to be a big part of this. They're going to widen the concourses both in the middle and in the bottom. This is the, okay? Winterization will also be completed. Installation of pipes, other upgrades to allow the building to be occupied when temperatures are below freezing, and the ability to host college football playoff games. But this will be important. Eventually, there's going to be a lot put in here for this that will include, okay, improved restrooms, upgraded concessions, wider concourses, better Wi-Fi, cell upgrades, okay, additional seating options. You know, that's all. You know, construction is expected to begin in January 2025, right after the conclusion of the 2024 season. So there you go. That's what they're doing, and the final votes will be tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So that was all advanced out of the respective committees today. And then the full board votes tomorrow. We'll take a break. I received a letter here from Georgia.
Oh.
And in the letter, second here, it got sent to letters, as a matter of fact. It is... Let's see. We enjoy your podcasts, including the rants. That's what it said.
There we go.
That's from Ed down in Georgia. Ed, thanks so much. Also from Marguerite. Ed and Marguerite down in Georgia sent that. So thanks to them. Very nice. We'll take a break. We'll come back with one of those world-famous rants. In fact, I may just leave the room, but anyway, go ahead. Just do what you got to do.
Oh, my almighty!
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, here we go. Buckle up, boys and girls. We're about to take a ride on the roller coaster.
Well, so with the game last night, now let's just start off with this with Embiid. He was not good offensively. He looked slow. He looked tentative. I wasn't necessarily surprised by that. But that doesn't mean that he shouldn't have played in the game last night. There's still even more so today of arguments that they should have sat him, let him rest a couple extra days, then get ready for the game three in Philly. Again, as I said yesterday, going into last night, the Sixers had an opportunity to put their foot on the Celtics and try to maybe take a 2-0 lead heading back to Philly. And if you have a chance to get your starter, your best player, the MVP in there, and he says he's feeling good, he was cleared by the doctors, then he plays.
Oh, wait a minute. In the end, Jason Tatum got a lot of rest. He didn't play the fourth quarter at all. Oh, I'm sorry.
Señor!
Wrong guy?
No, señor!
Yeah, wrong guy.
Wrong guy? Jeez. Okay. He's played in the finals. Did you know that? Okay.
I did, yes. Yeah. I did watch the finals a couple of years ago.
He scored a lot of points
there.
In the finals.
Yeah, he did.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah. Could have been a Sixer, too, but again... The front office led by the owner of also the New Jersey Devils and the Washington Commanders let that one slip too. So there's that. But anyway, Embiid, yes, he had a bad night offensively, but defensively, the guy still had 5 blocks, including one on Jaylen Brown when he went for the dunk, when the game was still in hand and still competitive. So it's not like he did nothing last night. He was still a force defensively, and he was not 100%. That's what you get with Joel Embiid. That's why you need him out there on the floor, regardless if he's 100% or not. He showed that in the first half last night. Now, third quarter comes around. The whole game, the Sixers just couldn't make a shot. But then the third quarter comes around, and things get out of hand because the Celtics get white hot and can't miss. And the Sixers still couldn't make a shot. That happens. It was an off night for the Sixers, shooting-wise. The Celtics needed the game, and they took it. I thought they would win the game last night. I didn't think by 34, but I thought they would win the game last night.
It doesn't matter if you win by 34 or 4. I mean, that's just a number in the end.
Exactly right.
It means zero to me that it was 34.
But to the people who argue that Embiid should have been in there last night, then you didn't watch the first half defensively for the Sixers because Embiid was dominant again. with those five big blocks, including the one on Jaylen Brown. So he still played a factor in the game when it was competitive. But it, regardless, no one could hit a shot for the Sixers last night. The Celtics did. That was the game right there. So now we go back to Philly. Embiid's got another day to get ready. He's got a game under his belt now. He probably got some stamina back in him a little bit because he didn't run that much when he was out. So I expect him to be better both ends of the floor tomorrow night for Game 3. So again, let's stop with the overthinking of this injury. He was cleared. He felt good to play, though he wasn't 100%, but he felt good enough to play. He still played well on one side of the floor, didn't play well on the other side of the floor. And ultimately, it didn't matter anyway because the Sixers couldn't make a shot. So enough with this, let's just sit him even though he's good to play nonsense.
See, that's the weird part about Game 1. You know, the Celtics shot 55% in Game 1.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
They hit almost all their free throws. I mean, to be honest with you, they should not have lost the first game.
Yeah. you can argue that. The Sixers made crazy shots when they needed to in the second half in Game 1, as opposed to last night where they were still kind of in it, even though they only made 1-3, couldn't shoot the ball well. Then they really didn't shoot the ball well in the second half. It got worse. That was the difference between the two games.
Yeah, Harden didn't shoot the ball well at all last night.
No, but nobody could. Harden was 2 of 14 last night, but nobody could make a shot last night for the Sixers, including P.J. Tucker, who barely took a shot last night, and I wonder where that was.
Seem a bit bitter. It's one game.
This is, I guess I'm a good bitter. And expected bitter. How about that? Because I didn't think the Sixers were going to win the game last night, even with Embiid back. But if you're P.J. Tucker, when you've done nothing during the regular season, you actually played the way you're supposed to against the Nets, can you, do that again against the Celtics? That'd be great when you really kind of need it in the series. I think he just passed up another three-point shot.
Oh, just... Ugh. Just so filled with hate.
And the Sixers' defensive rotations need to be better, too. Too many guys getting left wide open on backdoor cuts in the paint. That's been a major issue in both games so far.
And you act like you have your money in a small bank. Just slow down.
Oh, yeah, and speaking of your boy Jason Tatum, he should have been tossed in the first quarter last night by pushing the ref's arms out of the way. Are you serious?
They were in the way.
After everything that's happened in these playoffs, with kicking each other in the junk and everything else that's gone on in these playoffs, we got to at least still have control of these games. And the officials didn't really have that. They let the Sixers play. They let the Celtics play. They didn't let that to the Sixers. But come on. Tatum should have been thrown out for that last night. Let's be real.
So, in other words, you're saying the officiating created a 34-point gap?
No, it was the Sixers' inability to shoot the basketball, but I'm saying the officiating didn't help either.
You had more free throw attempts than the Celtics.
Shockingly. It didn't seem like it.
Game 3 is tomorrow.
It is, in Philly.
They'll play that dopey song and then lose. All right.
It's only if they win, and if the Sixers want to win this series, they got to find a way to win tomorrow night.
Oh, I thought you said they had to play the song.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So I sent Penn State men's volleyball coach Mark Pavlik the text. They play number 2 Hawaii tonight in the NCAA championships. I said, good luck tonight. May you channel your inner Al Davis. Just win, baby. Mark texts it back, as always, your advice is spot on.
There you go.
Oh, God, he and I have known each other for, 30 years. And we'll go to baseball games together. He's got a great coach, but an even better guy. His wife's a great volleyball coach. She won a national title at Juniata. Sons in theater, Jack, who shares the same birthday as Jack Ham, by the way. And, yeah. So, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. So let's talk about the money they're talking about today and what the total project costs are going to be. I think you have to be realistic about what you're doing here, because that to me is really important. And these are projects that probably should have been green-lighted 6 years ago. And this is not being critical of anybody. I'm just talking about the monetary part of it. If they had been green-lighted 6 years ago, say they got that far with it, A, they'd be built, and B, they would be cheaper than what the current price tag happens to be. And that's the element that I want to talk about, the investment part of it, that as you do this. There's an investment part of this that is critical. So let's take Yankee Stadium. Yankee Stadium was built for $2.3 billion. Okay? If they were to build it today, so you're going to build it 14 years later, it would cost more than almost $2.9 billion. Jerry World, AT&T Stadium, $1.3 billion. If they were to build it today, it would be approximately $2 billion. Okay, same story 14 years later. And that's what you're looking at. The longer you wait on something, the more expensive it becomes. And that building needs something. Now, the other projects are important. The Lash Building is just a continuation of the renovation there. They did the bottom floor already, locker room, training area. You know, obviously, they've added on the weight room. Now they're doing the second floor. And they're going to renovate and expand that area up there. The training table, that's been needed for a long time. Nutrition is a part of your training. Simple as that. And by having it there where the players can just literally, especially when it gets cold late in the season or you're done with a workout, a winter workout where you're doing everything like that, you can just go over there. You can also keep better track of your athletes going over to training table as well. And that's going to be important, plus the wellness area. The bubble, you need to take pressure off of Luba Hall. It is constantly being used. Softball needs it. Baseball needs it. Lacrosse needs it. Soccer needs it. I mean, you're going through everybody that needs it. And then, of course, football needs it. Well, you need to take pressure off of that. And remember, the original was to build a second indoor facility. Instead, they've decided to go with a bubble. The bubble is less expensive. So that's why, you know, they're going to go that route. We all know Jeffrey Field needs everything. They need locker rooms. They need bathrooms. They need coaches' offices. Everything. The whole deal. And then when it comes to Beaver Stadium, it's one of the most important buildings on campus. Remember, athletics is not the house. Athletics is not the house, but it's the front porch of the house. You're driving along considering whether to buy or not, right? Boy, the front looks great. And it lures and attracts you and makes you say, I want to take a look at the rest of the house. Football is on every single Saturday. It's on national TV every Saturday. I mean, every Penn State football game is a nationally televised game. So it puts the name Penn State and the exposure of Penn State right there in the forefront. That stadium is a critical part of it. It's showcased seven times a year. And these renovations, to me, are all about fan experience. Better seating, loge boxes, which would be on the west side, which means the sun would be at your back. Wider concourses to allow for you to have better traffic flow, both in the center ring and in the bottom. Bathrooms. Okay. Renovating bathrooms. Not the sexiest thing to say you're going to be doing, but you know, all of you fans out there know, hey, it needs to be done. Concessions. More of them, better spots, all part of the wider concourses, both middle and bottom, just to lead to better flow all the way through. And those are just some of the items. And then when you're done taking care of that west side, obviously you're going to need money. You're trying to fortify the rest of it all the way around. Fortify the rest of it all the way around. Because it is there are some parts of it, not all, but some parts of it are 62 years old. You can keep kicking the can down the road, but every time you take a swat with your foot and the can moves further, the price tag goes up. And you swat the can again, price tag goes up. I've always mentioned on the Olympics, why do the Olympics always end up being a cost overrun? Because the estimates that they put in their bids when they are going after the bid, all right? Okay? When they finally build the facilities cost exponentially more because the bid took place 7 years earlier. So you want to take care of this now. All right? And the reason you want to take care of it now, or at least really get the process, I mean, this is really the case of getting the project, going. I mean, that includes designs and everything like that as to what you have finally settled on. That way you now can watch it come to fruition, and now you know what you're getting for your money. But you have to do this. You could either wait and just let it cost more, or you can do it now and just say, okay, here we go. We're going to raise the money. We're going to get it done. We're going to take out financing, whatever it takes to get it done now. Because if you wait 10 years from now, the total is $700 million. It's going to be about $1.2 billion. You don't want to do that. I remember when Ohio State in 2002 renovated the horseshoe. I remember we had to travel up this freight elevator to get to the press box, and it took about 10 minutes. It was that slow. But they were renovating it. And at that time, they put in, I think the number was something like $180 to $200 million or something like that. It's like, wow, it's a big number. But you know what? 20 years later, that might be $700 million now if you did it back then. They don't have to do it. They just have to do maintenance on it now because they already took care of it. They took care of it at a what is now, looking back, a really good price. And that's the problem you have when you do these long-term construction projects. When you do the long-term construction projects, it does come down to the fact that if you wait, the price, goes up. Every year you wait, it ticks up higher. Every year you wait, ticks up higher. And remember, when I'm talking about the inflationary numbers of what Yankee Stadium would be now and what AT&T Stadium in Arlington would be now, that's based on relatively low inflation. From 2009 to 2019, what was inflation running at? 1.5 to 2.5%, maybe? I mean, now it's between 5 and 8%. So all these numbers are going to go up. I mean, my goodness. We had a State College Quarterback Club board meeting last night, and we were talking about, you know, what to do about luncheons and about buffet, about banquets and things like that. And we were talking about, you know, based on the estimates we're getting, how much the food was going to cost. That's just the way everything is right now. And that's why I'm glad that, I mean, Pat Kraft's taking the lead on this. He says, the heck with it. He understands it. He understands the business part of it, right? The longer you kick the can down the road, the more expensive it's going to get. So you might as well start getting it done now, because you know you're going to have to do it anyway. And it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter that the college football playoff is expanding and there are going to be home games for teams, okay, on the third weekend of December. So, yeah, that's important. But even if they didn't have that, they still had to do these projects. They still had to do it. Look, you build a new stadium, it's going to be $1.5 billion. And if you did a complete stadium renovation, $1.2 billion. They've come up with a $700 million solution they think makes the place a lot better. So, number one, if you're wondering about seating, two key points were made today. And one is they want to keep the capacity of Beaver Stadium at more than 100,000 moving forward. That's one. Second, they've invited 10 design firms in stadium space to submit proposals. A top three will be selected for review, and then they'll choose a lead designer. That's expected to take place over the next year, maybe 15 months. And then the timeline, start construction January 2025, finish it by August 2027. So I hope that helps out. With what they want to do. So here's the schedule, okay? Architect, engineer selection, that'll happen next month. Design, next month. Pre-construction, okay? 13 months away. Construction start, 18 to 19 months away. And the completion of it in 4 years from today. You know, right around there. Now, during the construction of the 2026 football season, you'll lose some seats. But it may be, based on what I'm understanding, is about maybe 5,000 seats. And it'll be a one-year impact on the west side. Okay? So I hope that answers some questions for you. We'll get back to the whining part of the show in a moment. I know you're ready. Because I know you're not done with your rants.
Bingo!
Oh, boy. Just the mere thought of that. Okay. All right. Come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, let's get to Dick in Milton. Dick, thanks for waiting. I appreciate that. Welcome back to the show.
No problem. Steve, I'm old enough that I was in the Beaver Stadium in 1965 or four. So it wasn't like it is now. My question was, and you might have covered this, I was driving, I got out, parked, did a couple of things, and I got back and you were finishing. So they're going to build this in the course of one and a half or two football seasons, at least one whole season. So what are they going to do for the games then if they're remodeling the stadium?
They're going to do it in such a way where they may lose on the west side about 5,000 seats.
Okay.
But so they may have to, you know, do a little bit of movement. And I think they're coming up with a plan now as to how to make that work, but it's just a necessity of doing that. It'll be the 2026 season where that will happen.
Yeah, and you might have covered that. I missed some of what you were telling there when I got out of my car, as I say, but there's no way you can remodel a stadium to that extent and not have, especially during a season, and not have lose some seats.
Right, and see,
that's almost impossible.
Right, exactly, and they know that going in, and they think the potential seat loss is going to be about 5,000 or 6,000 for the one season, because they do exactly what you're doing. But there's also another element too, is that they're going to enhance the rest of the stadium, but they're not going to level those areas, like the north end and the east end are not going to be leveled. They're going to be enhanced. But they don't have to lose any seats in any of those parts. And obviously the southern building, the south building, is not going to be touched at all.
Okay. Well, as I see, you might have covered that, and I just missed it. But that was my only question.
That's a good question. Just,
and when's it finished? 2027?
Yeah, the 2027 season, it will be all done. So
if I'm still around, maybe I'll get to a game, or maybe I'll just watch them on TV.
Well, Dick,
a lot of years for me now at my age.
Yeah, well, that's what Jack said to me. Jack Ham said to me, he says, "Yeah," and this is before they announced the dates and everything. He says, "Are we going to be in a new press box before I retire from this thing?" I said, "I think so."
I told you this years ago when you were covering state football schedule and 3 or 4 or 5 years out, and I said, "Listen, I only worry about tomorrow and next week. I can't be worrying about things 4 or 5 years from now." Just I remember telling you that
right
years
now,
ago. So I can't worry about a football stadium for 4 or 5 years from now.
Every day is a wonderful day, Dick. It's like it's a day. Like the old saying is, the player is day to day, aren't we all?
Well, I consider every day a bonus anymore.
The bonus for us when you call, I know that.
Oh, here. Thanks a lot, Steve. Bye.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it. I induced Dick from Milton to call because I thought it would hold off your rant.
I am willing to hold off my rants for Dick and Milton anytime.
But Dick is right, you know. It's like, I know it seems like a long way off, but you have to start someplace. Like I said, I know this was brought up 6 years ago, and you do have to take into account. I mean, okay, let's just keep throwing good money after bad into maintenance. And you have to kind of draw a line in the sand and say, you know, we got to do something, got to do it now. And that's what they're doing.
Well, you know, 2027 is going to be a big year for this area because not only, of course, we have the Beaver Stadium and the rest of the athletic renovations that'll be done by then, but the southern section of the CSVT here in the Valley is scheduled to be done by 2027. So that's going to be a big year.
You know, just when I thought there wasn't a reason to live, you brought that up. There you go. Very nice.
Yeah, you've seen it, right? Haven't you? Or no, not yet. I can't remember if.
What the new bridge?
Yeah.
I've gone over it twice.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right.
I've gone. It's been great. Oh, it's been great. It cuts a lot of time off. You know, it's one of the better things that they've done. So, pretty cool. You know, I like that a lot. And, yeah. So, we'll get that done by then. What's the other thing? Oh, that's why I'll give you one on roads. I mean, you mentioned roads, okay? there's that one stretch on 322 at from 144 in, where it becomes two lanes for about, I don't know, 8-9 miles. Matt, that should have been done as four lanes 20 years ago. You just can't keep kicking the can down the road on things. I mean, no offense, that's not safe through there.
Yeah, no question.
It's just not safe. And I remember every time I go through the Narrows outside of Lewistown, I am so grateful that project is done, because that was an incredibly unsafe road.